A known contact.
You could have checked the duty roster.
He did.
I'm clear, woman. Clear for 48 hours. I've just finished a three-week stretch without a break.
100% call out, he said, so we call everybody.
Doesn't think I'd give my all, is that it?
The chief superintendent doesn't confide in me, sir.
I can well believe it. Now, tell me something about this body.
Found by a railwayman taking a shortcut home about 4 this morning. In the trees on the other side of the West End sidings.
Baron's Wood.
Sir?
That's what they call it. It was part of my patch when I transferred to this godforsaken town. There's a scrubby old common on one side and the Obday School sports field on the other. Path runs alongside the field as far as the canal. The sort of place women should avoid like the plague. The body is female, I take it?
Yes, schoolgirl from the look of it.
God, not again. You always drive through red lights.
The chief said I was to treat it as an emergency.
He should have sent his winged angels in a chariot. Tully, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
First name?
Jane.
You're an educated sergeant, I understand.
Yes, sir.
How far educated?
A degree.
Lord, not another. What is it this time?
Archaeology.
Worse and worse. Old bones, eh?
Old stones, actually.
My apologies. Whose idea was it?
What idea, sir?
To give me the pleasure of your company.
The chief super, sir, I'd imagine.
He doesn't like me very much.
So I've gathered.
Have you? How long have you been in the force?
6 years, 2 in CIDB division.
You'll do, then. You rang my wife, I take it?
Yes.
What'd she say?
A verbatim or will it precede?
No details, please. Just the bare bones of the tragedy.
She said you were out at work.
But you soon put her mind at rest.
Not me, sir. The chief superintendent did that personally.
He would. He was put on earth by God for one very special purpose. The parting of man and wife. It's a noble calling, you know that?
I haven't really considered it.
You should. It's more satisfying than measuring lumps of stone. I'm Andrew Gregg, by the way, otherwise known as Trotsky.
Yes, to your friends, so I'm told.
Didn't know I'd be left.
More than you'd guess, Mr. Gregg.
They cover for me?
Yes. Told Mrs. Gregg the chief super didn't know his anus from his ankle, so to speak.
Whereas we know he does.
He's pretty shrewd, I'd say.
How did you find me?
I asked Sergeant Gilchrist. He said to try the private entrance to the Bluebell Club, and there you were.
Gonna be another fine day.
Looks like it.
Something about these nice summer mornings I can't quite put my finger on.
Touch of early mist?
Could be a sort of stillness. I'm waiting for the curtain to go up to the theatre.
You're a theatre buff.
Well, as and when the opportunity occurs. I reckon all policemen have a weakness for a spot of drama, don't you?
Never considered it.
Archaeologists don't go in for philosophising, is that it?
Not much. Scientific method beats instincts and hunches most of the time.
Does it now? You see that phone booth this side of the railway bridge?
Yes.
Pull up by it, will you?
The chief super did stress the need for a speedy return, sir.
Point taken, Sergeant. Just pull up by the box and leave the explanations to me. I'm sure the deceased won't complain if we're late.
Come on, you dozy bitch. Oh, hang on. You, Annie? Yeah, it's me, Andy. Sorry to get up again. What? Yeah, I know it was bad. Oh, come on, Annie. I didn't ask them to send a squad car to your back door. Yeah, I see that. Well, it was me they wanted. Okay, if that's how you feel, I'll give you a ring in a week or two. Bye. See you soon. Like this time next year. And there ain't a lady living in the world that I'd swap for me dear old Dutch. That you, love? Yeah. Yeah, they reached me. I'm on my way now. What? Oh, it's a murder. Harrigan's idea of fun. Everybody there, including the canteen cook. Yeah, I'm sorry they woke you. No, I was seeing a snout. Sergeant Gilchrist knew perfectly well where I was. All right, they should have asked him earlier. Yeah, I know it's Peter's birthday. I'll ask Harrigan if I can have an hour off to blow out the candles. No, I'm not being sarcastic. You're all right, love. I'm a hopeless, selfish bastard. Look after yourself. Bye. See you soon. In a lawyer's office discussing divorce, I reckon, thanks to Mr. Bloody Harrigan.
Morning, Mr. Harrigan.
Oh, you managed to get here, then?
Fresh as a daisy, all rearing to go.
You took your time about it.
Off duty, Mr. Harrigan. You're lucky to get me at all. Where's this body, Sergeant?
I haven't finished, Greg.
Finished what, sir?
Getting an explanation why it took you so long to answer my emergency call.
I just said I was off duty, Mr. Harrigan. And it took a minute or two longer than I expected to get me trousers on.
I hope you're not trying to be funny.
No. The lady's Annie Distel. She, fills in at the Bluebell Club for a gang that's into some fairly heavy intimidation among the Asian immigrants. She's also very friendly with William Sefton, and until he was sprung, was doing 20 years for manslaughter.
Yeah, I know all about Sefton.
Yeah, of course, sir. But Miss Distel knows more. He knows where he is. Unfortunately, the squad car you dispatched with Sergeant Tully to find me frightened the living daylights out of dear old Annie. It ruined 5 weeks' work, as far as I'm concerned.
You should have reported what you were doing and where.
And have every flat-footed jack tramping in the club after a spot of personal glory. Do me a favour, sir.
You're too damned independent, Greg.
Yes, sir. Who's in charge of this lot?
Jack Wallace.
Oh, he'll be giving me my instructions, then.
Just get on with it, Greg.
Yes, sir. We'll be setting up an operations centre on the site, I take it.
In the empty shop in Windermere Street. Wallace is getting in a team of temporary clerks and arranging extra telephone lines.
Dr. Cena?
Yep.
And a photographer?
Yes.
But do we know who she is?
No. Face is knocked about a bit, but identifiable. We're getting some prints done. She's not in any of our lists, and she hasn't been reported missing.
Regular all-night wanderer?
Yeah, looks like it.
That means a door-to-door knock-up.
Already started.
Right. Permission to view the body?
Get on with it. Oh, and remember, Wallace is in charge, so none of your famous off-the-cuff interviews for your drinking pals on the local rag.
Right, let's have a look, then. Not very pretty, is it?
No.
Been a pretty girl, then?
Very.
What age would you say?
15 or 16.
Maybe a bit older. Common face, know what I mean?
Well...
Not the sort you see in the Tatler. Bit pudgy round the nose, floppy mouth. Common as in little breeding, agree?
Not really. That slightly overweight look is fairly common in late adolescent girls of all classes.
I stand corrected. Poor little devil. Yeah, that's a lousy world, Tully.
Yes.
You all right?
Yes.
You're looking a bit green round the gills.
Oh, I'm all right, honestly.
Had any breakfast?
No.
Snap. And we're not likely to get any lunch.
At the moment, I don't feel very much like food.
Normally, to tell the truth. Strangle, from the look of it.
Right, first time. Morning, Andrew.
Morning, Jack.
Got you out of bed, I hear. Hope the lady didn't mind.
Jack, Dad, what makes you think she was a lady?
Harrigan says so.
Unreliable witness, Jack. I mean, he actually believes you're a smart copper.
You're looking for trouble, Andy.
We've already got it, Jack. Doctor said she was strangled.
Yes.
What with?
Some sort of cord or belt.
Tight, maybe?
Not very likely, Sergeant. Appears she wasn't wearing any... Just ankle socks and shoes.
What about the bruises?
I wasn't sure about them. They look like thumb marks on the neck.
Mm. They are thumb marks. Probably to shut her up. When? Any idea?
Sometime yesterday. Late yesterday.
Afternoon, evening?
Oh, God, Andy, you know old Ferguson on times of death.
Do I not? He'll tell us all in his own good time, including whether or not she's been sexually assaulted.
Oh, I'd have thought that was fairly obvious, sir.
No, is it? Tell her, Jack.
Well, lots of funny folk about these days, Tully.
Well, why take her clothes off, then?
But did he? Or they? Or did she? Where are her clothes, by the way?
About 20 yards that way. Nothing torn, just strewn about, as if she'd taken them off herself.
Or had them taken off after she was dead.
Is that likely?
I told you, Tully, there's plenty of funny folk about these days.
Funny enough to move her 20 yards from her clothes.
Well, she could have run this far and got caught.
True. No tights, you say?
No. Ankle socks and shoes. Oh, and... Dirty feet.
What?
Well, dirty feet, look.
Well, they are a bit, aren't they? Don't get many these days.
Probably lives in a house without a bath.
Very likely. And you don't find many of those these days.
Well, I don't know. There's precious few baths in the streets off Raglan Road. All due to come down in slum clearance.
Before the end of the century. Feet not scratched.
No, she wasn't dragged.
Ran?
Walked.
Or was carried.
But why?
To move her further away from the path.
But why leave her clothes?
Why, indeed?
Daft, isn't it? And what's dafter is the way she was put into this little hollow and partly covered with leaves. So well hidden, the first railwayman to pass spots her.
So she wasn't hidden.
Or whoever was covering her was disturbed and ran off.
More than possible. Seen her now?
Yes.
All right, Andy. Now what?
Continue as before, local house to house. She's local, all right.
Out of some slummy back street.
Yeah. Oh, you could try the local social services.
Well, what for?
Feckless families, to start with. She's been missing the best part of 24 hours, but Mum and Dad haven't reported it. Could be Dad's inside or other kids are in care. Find the house that's 10-1, the villains around the next corner.
Right. Oh, talking of villains...
No. Sergeant Tully's going to check record for all local blokes with convictions, people out on licence, tramps, boozers, known perverts, simpletons and so forth.
On my own?
Well, I'm sure Chief Inspector Wallace will give you a couple of assistants. And when the computer collapses with exhaustion, talk to Tom Gilchrist. He'll fill any blanks as far as local lads are concerned.
Yes, sir.
What about you?
I'll walk along the path as far as the car just to get the feel of the place.
And then what?
I'll get Sergeant Tully to drive me home for a shave and some breakfast before meeting the enemy.
Which enemy's that?
The toffee-nosed lot at the school next door. Somebody there might have seen a thing or two.
All right. But don't give him any of your bolshy lectures. Oh, and remember, Harrigan's holding a full briefing at 12:30 in the incident centre. Everybody, including you, to be there.
Righto, comrade. How nice it is to be wanted.
All right, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Think you can cope?
I hope so.
First murder inquiry, is it?
Yes.
Well, stick close to Greg. He's very sharp.
Yes, sir.
His own worst enemy, though. Doesn't believe in hanging, jail sentences, or police brutality. Thinks the Chief Constable's a fascist beast.
He does.
Bloody does, and says so. Would have been super by now, but for that... And the chip on his other shoulder.
What chip, sir?
Education. Had none to speak of after 15. Married a school teacher. There's two bright kids and objects to graduates coming in to run the force.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's why Harrigan put you under his wing. It'll do the pair of you a world of good to get better acquainted.
Well, my lovely grub. Just what the doctor ordered.
Oh, it's you, Andrew.
It is? He's picking someone else.
I thought it might be a burglar or someone interesting for a change.
Sorry to disappoint you. What are you doing home at this time?
Picking up a pile of exam scripts. How about you?
Concocting a 4-star, 5-course lunch. I didn't get any breakfast.
You should try coming home more often.
I'll tell the Chief Super. You want some of this?
What is it?
French onion soup.
Oh, I suppose I'd better. Not too much, though. What's to follow?
Cold meat and chips.
I'll settle for yoghurt and cheese.
Funny stuff, this, don't you think?
Why?
Well, is it French soup with onions in, or soup which includes French onions?
Are you really asking?
Just thinking aloud.
Your friends were pretty agitated this morning. Where were you?
The Bluebell Club.
Oh?
Working.
All night?
They don't put the shutters up until 4.
Oh, why didn't you tell them where you were going?
Professional reasons.
Like keeping some female to yourself.
How'd you guess?
It's happened before. Pass me the cheese, will you?
And a knife.
Please. Thanks. I'd get your chips if I were you.
Right. Oh, God, they're burning. No, it's Annie DeStale this time. Tone-deaf pop singer turned middle into pathetic stripper. Married. 2 kids and divorced before she was 20. And discovered she had a natural talent for whoring. Oh, I hate bloody burnt chips.
You burned them.
True. And for the record, I don't sleep with oars.
Very high-minded of you. Thinking of setting up as her pimp, maybe?
Police regulations frown on inspectors mixing work and pleasure.
Particularly if it's profitable.
Right, my love. I'll tell the truth, our Annie's getting a bit scared of her bosses who burn down package shops, and a lot more scared of a boyfriend with a liking for carving his initials on postmasters and old ladies.
William Sefton?
Oh, so you do listen to me.
Only out of habit. Will it help with your promotion?
Best chance I have, if Comrade Harrigan and friends don't blunder into her boudoir.
And you remember not to get at the noses of your superiors.
Coffee?
Please.
Can't stomach any more of those.
What was all the panic about?
Told you on the phone, body, murder.
Anyone I know?
No. Just a poor little sod with dirty feet who got herself strangled in Baron's Wood.
You sound upset.
I am. When I saw her stretched out under a couple of handfuls of mouldy leaves, I couldn't help seeing somebody else.
Our Beverly?
Yeah.
She was as young as that?
15, 16. Out of the Warren behind Raglan Road, very likely.
Raped?
Hard to say, didn't look like it. No clothes, but all very voluntary. Stupid little devil.
Probably should have been at school. When was she killed?
We're not sure. Could have been yesterday afternoon. And the school would be able to tell me who was absent.
Well, it depends. If she missed the whole afternoon, she'd not be registered, but lots of shady characters at that school slope off undetected after break for a smoke or a flutter in the pinball arcade.
Which school?
Lowmarsh Secondary. It takes them in from the area east of the railway lines. Not the cream of our secondary intake.
No, I'll get it. You do the coffee. Oh, Tully. Just the bot I was thinking about. What? Yeah, pick me up in 15 minutes. What? Oh, all right, make it 20. Any luck with a big criminal, Dick? Oh, Jack Wallace told you there were some odd people about. Yeah, include the flashers. Yeah, it's getting very popular. Any identification yet? No, I see. Right, before you depart to pick me up, get on to Lowmarsh School, get them to check absentees for yesterday afternoon. Four from fifth forms, we're looking for a girl who makes a habit of truanting. Yeah, get one of Wallace's idle jacks on it, and get a print of her face. From photography? Huh? Well, if you've got one, that's even better. Send someone to the school with it. 10 to 1, the kids will know her. Right, thanks. And let's hope she has better luck with that school than I had with Obday.
What were you doing there?
Seeking permission to talk to the lads.
What on earth for?
Well, our cricket nets back on to Barron's Woods. Some of the lads could have seen the girl or the fellow who killed her.
Is it likely?
Who knows? I got a right brush off from someone called Dickens.
Senior housemaster.
Pompous nit. Any inquiries through proper channels, contact the head officially. And nobody less than our chief constable likely to move the academic mountain.
You can understand it.
You can, maybe. I can't.
It's an exclusive public school.
There's been a murder.
Parents pay $3,000 a year.
And wouldn't like the publicity, is that it?
Yes, that's it.
My God, Pat, what kind of society do we live in?
It's a good school.
So you keep telling me. It's not where I want Peter to go.
Well, I do.
$3,000 a year?
He'll get a scholarship, and if he does, he'll get a bursary as a day scholar. The council will pay the fees, which are a lot less than $3,000.
And if he doesn't?
I'll pay out of my own salary.
As you're already paying for Beverly?
That's right.
You don't see that half our bloody troubles as a country start with the schools for the haves and the schools for the have-nots.
No, I don't. I just see kids whose parents spend their money on good schools instead of portable tellies, motorbikes and holidays on the Costa Brava, getting a hell of a sight better start in life.
Bullshit!
Don't shout.
Who's shouting?
You are. You always do when you have no logical argument. Must be something they taught you at Hill End Council School.
No! As a matter of fact, they hammered home the holy message for the proles. Never argue, look up to your betters, accept your lot, be honest and obedient, and if you aren't, the bobbies will have you. That's why I joined a bloody force.
So the sons of your proletarian comrades can take it out of Peter, because his father's in the fuzz?
Then he'll have to learn to take it. There's nothing to be ashamed of him being a copper, you know.
I didn't say there was.
Well, we put up with a lot from some of your intellectual friends.
Yes, I know. Let's not quarrel about it.
Damn it, Pat! I'm good at my job. Bloody good at it.
All right, all right.
Peter should be proud, not ashamed of me.
He might be if he saw more of you.
It's the job.
I know it's the job. You going to pop home to wish him happy birthday before he goes off to weekend camp?
Camp, did I?
5:30 the coach goes, I told you.
I'll try. I can't promise. We've got a dead girl on our hands.
Yes. Of course you have. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry I made the snide crack about Hill End School. I just get churned up when you fly off at me.
All right, teacher. Put it at the bottom of my report. Must try harder.
Well, don't spoil it. What about Peter's present?
Oof. No, there's a thing.
Oh, Andrew, you did get him one, surely.
Did I? Oh, yeah. Now I remember. It's tucked away at the back of my wardrobe.
Fishing tackle?
A lot. Strong enough to catch a whale.
Oh, he'll love it.
He'd better. Mine. I really ought to have gotten the collected works of Fred Engels. At least it would have made him think.
You never stop, do you?
I might.
What does that mean?
I'm thinking of chucking it in next year, promotion or no promotion.
Resign from the force?
Yeah, why not?
But it's been your life for 20 years.
Since I was 20. Means I can pack it in next year on a pension and get another job.
Such as?
Oh, I don't know, private security, something with regular hours. I might even take a few O-levels, get educated and join your racket.
Are you serious?
Very. Actually, Ted Bassett offered me something the other day.
Because of me? And the children?
A little bit.
Or of missing promotion so often?
It gripes for a day or two when it happens. To tell the truth, it's none of them. I want out. I'm tired of working my guts out to protect my fellow citizen. To say nothing of clearing up the nasty mess he keeps leaving around the landscape. Let somebody else do it. Wouldn't you like me at home more often?
Yes. But not as some dreary man sitting around in his slippers waiting for old age to clobber him. And where's your transport?
Yeah, I'd better go. See ya.
See ya. Try and drop in on Peter's party if you can.
Right, that'll do. Let's get on with it. I'm waiting. Right, Mr. Wallace, start us off, will you?
Right, sir. A victim found in shallow grave 30 yards from Pathrow Wood, bordering on British Rail West End sidings. Victim female, mid or late teens, partly covered by leaves.
Yeah, we know all that, Mr. Wallace. The medical report, please.
Yes, sir. Preliminary findings from Dr. Ferguson. He insists they're only preliminary. Considerable bruising to parts of the torso and thighs, some of the bruising several days old. Further, very recent bruising on neck and jaw, almost certainly caused by manual blows and pressure. Fractured thorax, death due to strangulation by ligature, a belt or something similar. Death occurred between 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. yesterday. There were none of the injuries commonly associated with sexual assault, but cohabitation had taken place probably a short time before death.
Cohabitation?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Yes, thank you. Any questions? No, they'll come later, I expect. Well, it's murder, gentlemen and ladies. A young girl has been killed in a public place in our patch. I want to clear up quickly. The Chief Constable wants to clear up quickly. Until I tell you differently, this takes priority over everything else. Absolute priority. Is that understood?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Wallace, what have we achieved so far?
Incident centres now established. GPO are laying on 15 lines this afternoon. 12 officers have been allocated to receive and classify all information coming in from the public.
Why 12?
All we can accommodate in the premises, sir. They'll cover 18 hours a day in shifts.
All right. What about suspects?
Sergeant Tully and three of my people are going through the records.
Any luck?
So far, 42 with sex or violence convictions of some kind.
49 now, sir.
Thanks.
What are we doing about them?
Visiting, personally.
What, all of them?
All the local residents, to start with.
Well, good. How about the girl? Do we have any idea who she is?
Yes.
Well, that's first rate. A response to your door-to-door inquiries, I take
it? Not quite, sir. We've got plenty of useful information about most of the unsolved crimes in the town. We checked the local school.
I see.
Just the top classes for absentees yesterday. Came up with three possibles, but a girl called Linda Riley looks our best bet. Slum kid, 15 years old. Bit of a reputation among the rest of the kids.
Good work, Wallace. You've got the address?
27 Tunnicliffe Terrace. We'll be interviewing straight after this briefing.
Oh, good, good. And the weapon?
A squad is covering every inch of the wood and the sidings.
What about the Obday School?
What about it?
Playing field backs directly onto the wood.
There's a board fence on the boundary.
With loose boards all over the shop where the gentlemen make their illegal exits and entrances. And a good 30 yards being replaced by wire fencing.
We'll talk about the school in my office later, Greg. Now, let's get back to this briefing. Personnel distribution, Wallace, I think. Have we enough men available?
Are you instructing me not to pursue any inquiries that might involve the boys of the school?
No.
Then what are you saying, sir?
The head rung the Chief Constable.
Did he now? And what was his complaint?
No complaint, Andrew. Just a request that any inquiry should be carried out discreetly and carefully.
Like the removal without prosecution of their 5 dope smokers last year. That was done very discreetly. Did the head ring the Chief Constable about that, I wonder?
I'll pretend I didn't hear that stupid remark.
All right, I'll forget I made it. But let's stop pussyfooting over this. Wallace has 2 dozen men and women out and about tracing the movements and contacts of the girl over the past week. If it's like the last one we did, he'll end up with a 20,000-page dossier which will include every blessed thing except the last hour of her life, the only part we're looking for. Because we're instructed to handle a bunch of schoolboys with kid gloves.
I didn't say that.
That's what you mean, no?
Okay. So I upset people. Take me off the job. Let Jack here take my piece over. Or put one of his blokes on it. I'll get back to Annie Distal.
No, you won't. I want this cleared up quickly. And remember, there's your application for promotion coming up.
For the fifth time.
Yeah. Won't look good if I report you were taken off a case as a result of your failure to cooperate with fellow officers.
You'd do that?
It would be the truth.
All you have to do, Andy, is to inform the head when you're on the premises and to question any boys in his presence or that of a member of his staff. It's fairly standard practice, you know.
Thank you, Jack. I take it it's also standard practice to touch the forelock and address the chief constable's son as sir when I meet him in the third form room.
You could do worse, until the promotion ball, that is. After that, you can spit in his eye. Oh, one thing, Greg.
Yeah?
If they do know anything, I expect you to get it out of them, understand?
Perfectly.
But don't expect any support if you upset the apple cart.
I won't. Oh, and, just for the record, sir, it was Sergeant Tully who cracked the girl's identity, not Jack. I'm sure he'd want her to get the credit for it. Wouldn't you, Jack?
I'll hold the balls while you squeeze through.
Look, I'm not sure we should go through.
Insubordination? What's this about?
Well, sir, is it wise to tackle the lads directly when we're supposed to go through the headmaster?
Tully, a yard or two beyond that fence are four or five lads who might just have seen Linda Riley and the bastard who killed her. How long do you think it'll take to go through the headmaster? What sort of answers will we get with teachers playing gooseberry?
You'll get us both shot.
Well, that's better than a lingering death in the police force. Go on, get your arse through and stop arguing.
Right.
Now, go on, get out of the way. There you are, I told you. Easiest climbing through a fence.
Lovely place, isn't it?
Beautiful. I never realised the school was so old.
19th century reproduction, mainly. The grass could be genuine. More important, what do you see on our left?
Three boys playing cricket and one boy watching them.
To be accurate, three boys at net practice. And behind the nets?
A chain link fence 10 feet high, which gives a clear view into the wood.
That's right. Part of that fence blew down in the gales a couple of years back. No doubt the rest will blow down eventually and the school will complete the wire job, thereby blocking forever the traditional, though illegal, late evening sixth form run to the black boy.
How do you know that?
I asked. Hey, up! They're sending an emissary to treat with us. Afternoon.
Hello. These are private grounds, you know.
Oh, they're very nice.
Yes. You're actually trespassing.
That's true, but in a way we have a sort of royal dispensation. You see, we're police officers.
Oh.
I'm Detective Inspector Gregg, and this is Detective Sergeant Tully. You'll be Trevor Walker.
Yes, how did you know that?
I asked the fellow on the mower. Nice chap, Henry, innit?
Yes.
Told me you lads were very keen. Net practice every afternoon, he said.
Not every afternoon.
What about yesterday?
Well, I don't know.
Perhaps we can ask the others now they've taken a well-earned break to talk to us. Afternoon, boys.
What's going on, Walker?
They say that the police...
That's right, sir. You'll be Mr. Lester, Randolph Lester.
Have you any identification, sir?
Yeah, of course, my warrant card. Yours too, Tully.
Yes, sir.
As I told your friend, Detective Inspector Gregg... And Detective Sergeant Tully, I understand you and Mr. Rolleston and Mr. Thompson here were in the nets practicing between 3:30 and 4:15 yesterday afternoon. Is that true?
I really can't say.
Oh, that's a pity. How about your friends?
I'm sorry, sir, but the head gave explicit instructions that we were not to answer any questions unless he or another member of staff was present.
He said that?
Yes, sir. Hmm. To the whole school. It isn't that we don't want to help your investigation.
Do you know what our investigation's about?
No, the head didn't say.
Well, yesterday afternoon, possibly whilst you lot were knocking a ball about, a 15-year-old girl called Linda Riley died in that wood not 100 yards from your nets. Both the bowlers and Mr. Walker here could have seen anyone walking along that path or going into the wood. All I want to know is, did you see anyone during that time? Well, how about it, Mr. Rolleston?
I'm sorry, Inspector. We must all obey the head's instructions. After all, if we don't, what sort of example will we be setting the rest of the chaps?
Ah, you're special.
We're prefects.
I see.
Awfully sorry about it, sir.
Oh, just one answer. Did you see anyone walk along that path yesterday afternoon?
You might as well tell him, Lester.
Not allowed, Walker. Sorry, Inspector. I'll tell the head you want to talk to us. I'm sure he'll arrange it.
Yeah, we'll arrange it, all right, and I'll be there. It'll give me great pleasure to take four snotty-nosed twits down a peg or two. Come on, Tully, let's go before I puke all over these hallowed grounds. All right.
right, all right. Get it off your chest.
Get what off my chest, sir?
I blew it. I let all the prejudices creep out from under the car.
You're entitled to your prejudices.
But
it wasn't very wise to call them names.
No. You know them?
Only from this afternoon's encounter.
Well, Randolph Lester's old man is Sir John Lester, the electronics giant, and according to Henry, the grass cutter, they've all solid 22-carat gold backgrounds. And one of them, Rolleston, is the true son of the loins of the Lord Lieutenant of the county.
Who happens to have our chief constable among his many admirers.
But not Detective Inspector Gregg. Ring the head and arrange an interview with the gang as soon as possible.
Tomorrow morning or afternoon.
Either. What about the girl? Any information?
Linda. Oh, the usual. Physically somewhat precocious, emotionally retarded.
Not very bright.
No.
Any record?
No. Social services have been on guard for a year or so.
That lot of good it did her, why?
Well, mother's a human flop-out. First baby at 15, 5 since, 3 surviving, married and divorced. Been bashed about by various undistinguished male cohabitants. It's what the DHSS calls them. She had a social security doc several times for taking them on.
Pity the DHSS had anything better to do. Current situation?
Present male companion, one Frank McCullum, Scott, unemployed. Previous employment in road construction as labourer. No record as far as we can tell. Well, he's 25, by the way. Linda's mum's 33.
And what do the neighbours think?
I haven't got that far yet, sir.
No, of course you haven't. You've covered a hell of a lot more ground than I thought possible. What about the suspects?
Not very promising. 5 of the real villains are doing time, and there's only one genuine Next Street local on the list.
Who's that?
Roland Lewis.
Oh, Rolo? Never. He's the archetypal failure, even as a flasher. His last victim was the vicar's wife. She advocated Sundays in church on his knees. He retreated in some confusion.
Well, he was out and about yesterday and didn't want to tell us where, so Wallace has kept him in for further inquiries.
He makes daisy chains for little children. If it's Rolo, I'm the next candidate for chief constable.
So what do we do?
Exactly what Jack Wallace did. Take him in and give him a rough time. What did teacher say about Linda?
Unanimous verdict. She was one of nature's sweeties. Dried her heart out, was almost too anxious to please.
And inevitably gets taken for a ride by every unscrupulous bastard that comes along. You know, Dully, I could easily get involved in this one.
Where next, sir?
What time is it?
2:50.
They'll be interviewing the bereaved parents about now.
Yes, Mr. Harrigan and Mr. Wallace.
And full retinue. It'll be 4 before they're clear. There's no good poking my nose in till the first excitement's over, say, 5:30. Gives me time to push on with a bit of private business.
Well, I'll arrange the school meeting.
Yeah. Then you nip back to the Nick, grab a copy of Ferguson's medical report and pick me up about 4:30 in Market Square for a swift ceremonial drive to St. Peter's 12th birthday rave up. Then we'll tackle the Rileys for afters.
Yes, sir. Anything else?
Yeah. Just in case the Gannets have cleared the party decks by the time we arrive, beg, borrow or steal a few sandwiches. We may not be sitting down to steak and chips for some time to come.
We're very pleased to see you.
Yeah.
Peter seems a nice boy.
He is. His mother spoils him, of course.
Was it true what they said?
I'm trying to read Ferguson's report, Dully.
Sorry, sir.
What did they say?
That this was his first birthday you'd been at since he was 7.
It could be. It's the job.
Yes.
Now, don't you try it on.
No, sir.
I'll get a bellyful from Pat. Just about these bruises, isn't it?
Yeah, regular knocking about.
Kids at school?
No, they say not. She was quite popular.
Home then?
Could be.
It's bad luck, you know.
What?
Not getting home for Pete's birthdays. Whole string of emergencies, even a race riot when he was 10. It's a lousy job.
Yes, sir.
You don't agree?
It suits me.
How old are you?
29.
Not thinking of getting married.
Sir, just because I'm a woman, it doesn't mean
I know, I know. I withdraw that sexist slander without reservation, Sergeant. You've had a few offers, I bet.
Yes, but not of marriage.
You're not butch, are you?
Inspector Gregor, you're
right.
Off.
All right. I only ask.
The answer's no. Satisfied?
Completely. Sad about Linda, isn't it? Nice girl in every sense, but an old end at the sex game.
Too nice to say no?
Or too scared. We'll have to try to find out which, won't we?
You think I'd killed her the way they'd go on?
You've had visitors, then?
Knocking on the door saying how sorry they are and staring at you as if you were summit in a zoo.
Well, that's only to be expected, I'm sorry to say. Newspaper men been yet?
Only the local. took our pictures on the settee and borrowed Linda's photo. The one in a bikini. Said she'd be on front page.
No, I shouldn't be surprised.
Frank says the London papers will be up.
Frank? Oh, that's you, Mr. McCallum.
Yes, I told her to keep her mouth shut till she sees the colour of their money.
Frank says they might go to £10,000, is that right?
They might, and they might not. Depends whether they think it's dirty enough. And what you're prepared to tell them. I'd have thought you'd be more interested in helping to catch the villain who killed Linda.
I am. Look, Frank and me answered all load of questions from your other lot. They said we was very helpful.
I'm sure you were.
Then why have you come asking more? And won't bring Linda back?
Nothing will do that, Mrs. Riley. What puzzles us is why you didn't report Linda missing when she didn't come home last night.
It wasn't the first time, that's why.
But didn't you worry?
What's the use? To do what they want these days.
Well, did you try to stop her?
We asked her where she were going.
And what did she say to that?
Out. That's all she said. Going out.
How often does she do this?
Plenty of times. 5 or 6 times a year.
All night?
Yeah. God knows where she got to.
Sleeping rough from the looks of her.
Well, you know about that, do you?
I've done my share.
But you didn't try to find out where she was going?
Why should I? She wasn't my child.
You got any children of your own?
None that I'm paying for. Viv's expecting a wee in next January.
Yours?
What a question you ask a fella. Could be mine, I suppose.
And you really weren't worried about Linda's nights out?
Me, woman? Why ask me? Ask her mother.
What about it, Mrs. Riley?
Of course I was worried. I'm worried over all my bairns. Linda wouldn't listen. She was never home from school till after 5 and always out with her friends. So she said.
Who do you think she was out with?
It ain't hard to guess, is it? She never listened, you know. Never took a blind bit of notice. Man, she never took to Frank, that was trouble.
Any reason, Mr. McCallum?
None I know of.
Well, you any idea, Mrs. Riley?
Me? No. She never said, except she said he looked at her funny.
He looked at her funny?
That's what she said. Oh, well, I'll have to go up.
Doesn't sound as if he'll settle.
No, he won't. It's going to be another bloody night, if you ask me. Finished with me, have you?
Yeah, for the moment. Mind you, we'd like a longer chat in a day or two.
Well, I don't know what the hell for. Keep your voices down a bit.
We'll try. Well?
Well, what?
Now she's out of the way, you can tell me.
Tell you what?
Why, Linda didn't like you.
She was a cheeky little cow.
Didn't like you shacking up with Mam, is that it?
Didn't give tuppence for that, Mam.
Is that why you thumped her?
Now, hold on.
She's bruised, McCallum. Old bruises round her ribs and thighs. Not done yesterday, a week ago more likely, maybe longer.
Why ask me?
You're a big man. Used to hard physical work, road construction, wasn't it?
Yeah, 4 years till I cut back. Don't think I like being unemployed, I don't. I enjoy work, I have money in my pocket.
I'm sure you do.
Man, I'll go anywhere. Do anything that needs muscle, but the bastards don't want me.
I know. So you laid here with Viv Riley, who's a shagged out old woman at 33, and you're only 25.
So your roof over my head. What's the lassie do?
Making a few notes.
I don't like it.
It's all right, Frank. They can't be used in court. I haven't charged you yet.
Charged me with what?
I don't know. Do you, Tully?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well, you better take over then.
Aren't you sorry Linda's dead, Mr. McCullum?
Yes.
But you don't seem very sorry. You called her a cheeky cow.
She was.
It's not what they said at school. She was quiet, well-behaved, did as she was told. But at home she's cheeky, does as she likes, comes home late, stays out all night. Why?
I don't know.
But I do. What do you think of her mother?
What's that got to do with it?
A lot. She's a fat, sloppy, whining slut.
You're going to tell her that?
If I have to. And look at this place, it's filthy. Look at the kids, dirty. Do you know what the social services call women like her?
No, tell me.
Inadequate. Can't cope. Never could. Never will. And you've been shacked up with her for a year.
That's how I like it.
Why? You're 8 years younger, you're clean and smart, you look after yourself. But not for Mrs. Riley, is it, Mr. McCallum?
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Linda. I'm talking about Linda. I'm talking about sex with a minor, Mr. McCallum.
You're talking daft.
How old was she when you started, eh? 14? Judges don't like your sort, you know. Installed in the role of a father and taking advantage of a schoolgirl daughter.
I know her father. She wasn't my daughter.
But you had her, didn't you, McCullum? Used your muscle on her. Thumped her around the ribs when she objected.
Serious, are you?
You and your sort make me sick.
Prove it, you ugly bitch. She's dead. Prove it.
Well, it explains why she was late home from school and spent nights out sleeping rough, doesn't it?
Explains nothing. Try proving it.
Oh, I'll do that, Frank.
One more foul word to my sergeant and I'll have you inside. And believe me, you muscle-bound lout, I'll have you screaming to sign a confession inside 24 hours. And then I'll get your Mrs. Riley in to corroborate the story and maybe a few of the neighbours. It's funny how little personal details get known in a street like this. Now, where were you yesterday afternoon?
In the betting shop on Beattie Avenue.
Can you prove it?
Yes.
And after tea?
Here till 7 and then a boozer till 10:30.
Chief Inspector Wallace is checking this?
Ask him.
I will! Right. We'll be off then. Come on, Sergeant.
That's it then, is it?
Anything but, Frank. We'll be back. Oh, and I wouldn't run if I were you. We'd only catch you. And think how bad that'd look for you then.
Where now?
Incident Centre to see how they're coping, then the Nick to have a word with Wallace.
Right.
Very impressive.
Sir?
Your lashing of McCallum. Frightened the pants off him. And me. Thank God your degree was in archaeology and not something heavy like economics.
Yes, sir. Will we be leaning on him?
If Wallace finds any holes in his story about betting shops and boozers, don't worry, if he killed her, we'll have him.
You think he did?
Well, he could have. By God, he's big enough. And he has a violent streak that could erupt when the blue touch paper's lit, as you showed so effectively. Yeah, he's fairly high on my list. God's a crazy world.
Is it?
Well, here we are, John Citizen and his wife, worrying desperately whether little Susie will get into this school or that, or follow this career or that, or get into this university or that. And somewhere, in a million back streets, there are poor little buggers like Linda lying in bed waiting for Dad, or whoever passes for Dad, to appear and claim his nightly dues.
Oh, come on, Jack. Roland Lewis is pathetic. He's a scavenger of dustbins. A smelly bundle of outsized pullovers and macs provided by the local convent with his lunch. I doubt he's heterosexual, even.
I looked at his record lately.
Tell me.
3 of indecent exposure, 2 of indecent assault on little girls under 10.
Both reported by hysterical mothers and taken up by equally hysterical policemen. Rolo likes children.
Oh, balls, Andy. Well, he's inside and getting the roasting. We know he was there or thereabouts. We know his record.
And you know Rolo, Jack. Lean on him and he'll say anything you want, true or not.
Well, so far, he's admitted kissing her and covering her with leaves, and we haven't leaned on him. That's for starters, Andy. You're not the only bloody policeman in this town, you know. Come in. Well, what is it?
Sorry, sir. It's for Mr. Gregg.
What is it?
It's Mrs. Gregg, sir.
Huh? Andrew, I have to see you.
Pat, oh, for God's sake, come in. What is it?
It's Peter. The minibus to camp. It crashed, Andy.
Where?
On the motorway just outside of town.
Where is it?
In the infirmary.
I bet.
He's in the operating theatre. They wouldn't let me see him. They say he's critical. Any change, sister?
No, Mrs. Gregg. The operation to stop the internal bleeding was successful, and Mr. Smithson believes the pressure on the brain caused by the fractured skull has been relieved. All we can do now is to wait for him to regain consciousness. It might be quite a time before that happens, or it might be quite quickly.
But he might not regain consciousness at all.
Well, it's possible, but very unlikely.
Can we see him?
He's in intensive care. It wouldn't help. You really ought to go home and get some sleep.
I'd rather stay.
He could find you a bed.
No, thanks.
We're all right, thank you, sister.
All right, Mr. Gregg. I'll get the night staff to bring you a cup of tea.
He's going to die, isn't he?
No way, Pat. You heard what she said.
I'm glad you're giving up.
Why?
When they came to tell me, you weren't there.
Well, I was on the Linda Riley case.
I know, but she's dead, isn't she? And Peter's still alive.
Yeah. I'm sorry I wasn't there.
It's all right.
I suppose I'm not there very often.
No. I've coped with most of the usual things, like measles and chicken pox and cut knees and exam nerves on my own. This is something different.
Yeah.
He could die.
I know.
Do you remember when he was born?
I was there.
Oh, so you were, grunts and all. How did you manage it?
I let a couple of died-in-the-wool villains fly away up the motorway, never to be seen again.